Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God while I have breath.
Put not your trust in princes. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known fully. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, that blind guy had it easy, didn't he? Hang on, that doesn't sound quite right, does it? How exactly did a guy who was blind have it easy? That doesn't really seem to make much sense at all. I mean, especially in that era, right? Being blind in that era meant you were a beggar. It meant you couldn't get a job. It likely meant that you wouldn't be able to have your own family. You'd be lucky if even your friends and your parents were willing to keep you around because you were going to be a burden to them for your entire life. And there wasn't any hope of getting better. You don't just recover your sight naturally. That's not one of those things that if you just leave it alone long enough, it's going to get better. And they didn't have doctors back then who would be able to fix it. We don't even really have doctors nowadays that are really able to fix blindness as well as they can other things. There really wasn't much hope for this man, aside from sitting there on that street, begging and hoping that someone would have mercy on him and maybe give him some money or some food so that he could survive. So then, with that being his situation, how could I say that this guy had it easy? Well, he had it easy because he knew that he was blind. He knew that he had to rely on the mercy of others, which meant that he had no problem asking for help. He was a beggar. He had to beg. There wasn't any other option. But perhaps most importantly of all, the reason that he had it easy, especially in our story for today, is because he had faith. He had a faith that leaped at the chance to pray to Jesus. He heard a commotion. He couldn't see anything, right? So all he could hear is he would be hearing the crowd, and he would maybe be hearing people shouting out as Jesus was walking by. This is very late in Jesus' ministry. He's essentially on his way to the cross. So he's hugely famous, hugely popular at this point. As he goes down a street, people know that he's going down a street. Even blind men know that something is happening. And so he asks and he hears, "This is Jesus of Nazareth." And his faith leaps. "This is the one who can actually help me. This is the Son of David." That's why I say that he had it easy. Not that his life was easy, not that his physical condition was easy, but he believed. And he knew that he needed help, which is precisely where you need to be for Jesus to save you. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that instead of being blind and not being able to see anything, that's how this blind beggar would have lived his life. Imagine instead that you saw hallucinations. That is to say, that you see things and you hear things that aren't there. Imagine for a second if you had to live your entire life that way. That you had to live your entire life trying to figure out, okay, what things that I'm seeing and hearing are real and which ones are fake. And then imagine that what you don't know is that everything you're seeing and hearing is fake. That nothing that you hear, nothing that you see is real. And that you are, in fact, blind to all of reality, to the real truth of what's going on. But you don't know it. And so when you see your hallucinations, you're spending your time trying to figure out which hallucination is real and which one is false, not knowing that every single one of them is false. I think maybe that image can help us to understand what it is like to be an unbeliever. Unbelievers can see, they can hear, they can sense things, but they don't realize that they're missing the main point. They're trying to figure it out by themselves, not realizing that everything that they're hearing is being tainted by their sinful nature. That the devil is lying to them, that the world is lying to them, that even they themselves are lying to themselves, but they don't know it. And so they spend their lives searching, trying to discern, trying to figure out which one of these things that I'm hearing is true, not realizing that even though they think they have a solid grasp of reality, that they really know nothing, that they don't have the truth. Just imagine being able to taste and touch and smell, being able to see and hear, and all of your senses are giving you the impression that you can figure this stuff out by yourself. But it's a lie. You can't. And so you don't even know how bad you have it. It would be like the blind man not realizing that he's blind. But let's imagine for a second that you did know, that an unbeliever did actually understand that there's something missing, that they don't have what they need, and that this thing has turned them into a beggar. You would know that you can't see the truth. But you would also know that there's nothing you can do to start seeing. The blind beggar could not just will himself into sight. And in the same way, even if an unbeliever does know that they're missing something, they cannot will themselves into faith, which is, of course, the thing that they're missing. You would know that you can't believe anything that's based on your senses. If you knew that you were hallucinating and that everything was a hallucination, then you wouldn't be able to trust anything, and you would know that. But you wouldn't know where to find reality. You wouldn't know where to find the truth. And that is precisely where each and every one of us would be if it were up to us. We would be exactly like the blind beggar on that street. Or maybe even worse than him. Maybe we wouldn't even realize that we were blind and needing of our sight. We wouldn't know any of that. Unless, of course, someone passes by. But this can't be just anyone. After all, we might think that it's just another hallucination or something like that. This person would have to be special. They would have to be something who, first off, they weren't blind. They weren't having hallucinations. They would have to be able to actually see and know the truth in order to share it with us. In the case of our blind beggar, not just anyone could have fixed his problem. It had to be somebody who could see clearly, who could see him clearly. And of course, this person would have had to actually be able to restore the sight. Nobody but Jesus would have been able to do this. He wouldn't have been able to restore this man's sight. And in the same way, nobody but Jesus can restore our sight. And perhaps most importantly of all, this person who's passing by would have to be merciful. He'd have to be willing to stop his parade, to silence the crowds, to go to this person and talk to him, to reach out to this person who no one else would probably have reached out to hear this person that everyone else was trying to silence. This person who was passing by would have to have mercy on you. And that is precisely what Jesus did. He stopped his caravan of celebrations and alleluias. He silenced the crowds who were trying to silence the blind man. And he called the blind man forth. And he talked to him. And he healed him. And this is precisely what Jesus did for you as well. Many of us don't remember this because many of us grew up in the church, but there was a time when you were blind to the truth. When you were hallucinating, when you didn't even know that you couldn't see the truth at all. You just thought that that's how things were. You thought you had a pretty good grasp on it. Until Jesus came by. He comes through many means. Possibly through your parents, who then brought you to baptism. That's likely how it worked for most of us. Maybe he came through a friend and an invitation to a Bible study or even to a party or to church, of course. But despite the many and various ways that our Lord comes to people, he always has one thing that he uses every single time. He always uses his word. It is through his word that the blindness of unbelief is healed. Just like it is through his word that this blind beggar was healed. It is through his word that we hear the truth that he predicted to his disciples before our story. That he was coming into Jerusalem not to become king like the crowds probably thought. Not to restore the Jewish empire. Like the crowds probably thought. They thought that they knew what was going on, but they were blind. Even the disciples didn't understand when Jesus told them that he was going into the city in order that he would die, and so that 3 days later he would rise from the dead. They didn't understand because God hadn't revealed it to them yet. As we prepare to enter Lent, you are free to recognize the wonderful truth that he has revealed it to you. That he has come to you. That you would hear the truth again and again and again. That you would hear the reality that you need to be saved from your sin. And that there is a God who is merciful and kind, who came to become one of us to do that very thing, to save you from your sin, to heal your blindness so that you could believe in the truth of what he accomplished for you on the cross. As we prepare to enter Lent, therefore, continue to trust in Jesus. Continue to trust in the one who is the truth, who reveals the truth. The one who can and does break the darkness, as our hymn for today says. The one who shares the truth with you through his word. The truth that the God of all things, that the God of creation is merciful, is compassionate, that he cares, and that he has come to save you, that he accomplished your salvation. And that he will not forsake you. Even now in this land of darkness and hallucinations, he will continue to come to you, continue to reveal the truth to you, continue to strengthen your faith, so that when he returns, you would stand before him, trusting in him, and he will welcome you into his kingdom. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.